Page 215. Even if his turn to Brecht's involved some sacrifice, Benjamin was not fully inconsistent with his aesthetic in turning to an author who himself had a great deal of affinity with the allegorical avant-garde. To the extent that Benjamin focused on the open, fragmentary works of the avant-garde as a terrain of critique in action, Brecht was not an unlikely object of great interest. Benjamin's interest in Brecht was facilitated above all by his interest in community, which unfortunately came to be expressed as a turn to the masses. The problem was that both Brecht and Benjamin in the 1930s presupposed the existence of a mass revolutionary subject, if not a community, at least a political collective, whose self-recognition in the new open work somehow seemed plausible. The empirical difficulties with this self-recognition were eventually, as always, met by a pre-constructed and administered political line. The discussion of the problem of community under the heading of mass already implies this solution. We should now note that near the end of his life, Benjamin was not disposed to follow a line. Under the impact of the Moscow trials and the Hitler-Stalin Pact, he decisively rejected communist politics. Footnote 109, text. It would nonetheless be a mistake to assume his earlier acceptance of that politics was not one of the possible alternatives to a mind seeking to work out a satisfactory relationship between Marxism and modern art. It is precisely in this era that Adorno in the 1930s exposed the work of his friend to rather devastating criticism. The paradox of this debate is that Adorno himself, in spite of his greater knowledge of Marxian theory, does not emerge unscathed or unaffected. It would be a mistake to derive Benjamin's revolutionary romanticism from the Lukács of the 1920s. Footnote 110. Text. If Benjamin derived his stress on the subjectivity of the masses, from Lukács, he clearly omitted the Lukácsian requirement that the reification of empirical consciousness must be mediated. Adorno's attack proceeds exactly from this Marxist point of view. On the other hand, Benjamin's 1940 thesis on the philosophy of history will represent a break not only with Brecht's but also with Adorno Horkheimer's early Marxism. The authors of Dialectic of Enlightenment are as much Benjamin's followers as those of Lukács. Page 216. Let us list Adorno's criticism as they emerge in his letter of 1935-1938. Footnote 111, text. Some of it was incorporated in the essay reproduced below, The Fetish Character in Music. The criticism falls into five groups. 1. Adorno was very critical of Benjamin's non-dialectical reception of Marxism. He opposed Benjamin's often technologically determinist reading of the relationship of culture and economic base, as well as the assumption that culture copies or reflects the economic base directly. From almost the reverse point of view, however, Adorno felt that the concept of dialectical image had no relationship to the existing social totality. Who is the subject of the dialectical image, he asked. Implicit in Adorno's argument is the position, abandoned in the 1940s, that the dialectical transition beyond bourgeois society is to be found in the point of view of the class struggle and not in isolated individuals who dream, nor in an archaicizing collective memory. Footnote 112, text. too, Adorno was extremely critical of what he took to be the anarchist romanticism of Benjamin and Brecht, that is, the blind confidence in the spontaneous power of the proletariat in the historical process. In making this criticism, Adorno mobilized in the name of revolutionary intellectuals the authority of Lenin's critique of spontaneism and the almost literal words of the Lukács of history and class consciousness. He spoke of the actual consciousness of actual workers who have absolutely no advantage over the bourgeois except their interest in revolution, but otherwise bear all the marks of the typical bourgeois character. Footnote 113, text. 3. Adorno, inaugurating the critique of the culture industry, denies even the negatively, destructively progressive function of the film, the radio, and so on. The artificial aura of films, movie stars, and so on, is not a mere abandentum, but reveals the commodification of the forms themselves, which develops modes of response on the part of audiences and introject the commodity fetish into the psychic structure, reducing them to mere consumers of cultural commodities. Passivity or totally manipulated and controlled response is the aim, as in advertisement, and Adorno believes the aim is usually achieved. Adorno's fetish character in music, which was meant, as we have said, partly as a reply to Benjamin's thesis on mechanical reproduction, explores both the objective and subjective sides of the culture industry, and we do not have to repeat its thesis. The essay represents a brilliant extension of Lukács' concept of reification in the direction of the study of culture. Footnote 114, text. And therefore, the mobilization of almost classical Marxist arguments versus Benjamin. The culture industry indeed represents for Adorno the tendency towards the aufhebung of art, but it is a false and manipulative abolition in mass culture. Footnote 115, text. 4. Adorno accepted, defended, and eventually extended Benjamin's use of Weber's of demagicization or disenchantment in the realm of culture. Page 217. But anticipating his own later argument from dialectic of enlightenment, he was violently afraid of a critique of demagicizes too much, that all too willingly consents to the false abolition of art by the culture industry. In Adorno's own view, autonomous art, when it reflects on the contemporary crises of culture and takes the reduced fragments of the present into its form principle, severs itself of all historical connection to authoritarian magic. To Adorno, the autonomous work of the avant-garde meet both of Benjamin's demands, demagicization, but without reducing critical reason itself and advanced technique. They thus represent a third term between the modern culture industry and the surpassed tradition. We should notice that Adorno refuses to apply in this context, at least, the concept of demagicization to individual synthesis. But for a consistent Marxist, the defense of the esoteric avant-garde already implied renunciation. Footnote 116, text. It is revealing that in this context, Adorno utilized Benjamin's allegory concept against the thesis of the decline of aura. The concept of the allegory saves some autonomous works from the charge of magical residue. The use of the concept allowed Adorno, in the footsteps of Benjamin, to construe some modernist works as critique of the present. But he renounced Benjamin's stress and collective reception. 5. Adorno attacks finally those technical devices which Benjamin, in Brecht's footsteps, considered critical in mobilizing a mass audience unless those devices are integrated in the most rigorous, advanced, aesthetic totality, as in the case of Kafka and Schoenberg. In particular, distracted, segmented, fragmented relationship to works is rejected by Adorno, especially in the fetish character in music. In the name of concentration and totalization, there is an interesting relationship of Adorno's rejection of jazz in his critique of Benjamin and Brecht. The presence of some advanced elements, shock, montage, collective production, technological reproduction, does not validate the whole. Adorno's article against Brecht on commitment below will extend this argument even in the case of an artist whose greatness he recognized. In the case of Brecht, the linking of advanced technique with explicit social contents, the result, socialist realism, and a political line, the result, manipulation, was to Adorno's disastrous. The link between jazz and Brecht was the immediate appeal to collective, whose immediate consciousness in Adorno's eyes was severely deformed by mass culture. Adorno understood the authoritarian implication of the concept of the masses so well that he refused to derive any clues from what is collectively or communally accessible, at least immediately. Page 218. Indeed, all the objections of Adorno to Benjamin can be summed up in a phrase used in his third and last critical letter. Your dialectic lacks one thing, mediation. Footnote 117, text. Even so, Adorno specifically meant Benjamin's immediate, direct, and unreflective linking of base and superstructure in correspondences. The argument penetrates deeper than just the Lucasian claim, later slightly revised, that materialist determination of cultural traits is only possible if it is mediated through the total social process. It was specifically Adorno's belief that Benjamin and Brecht did not relate the immediate consciousness of their supposedly revolutionary collective to the total society that reproduces reification. The result was the antinomy of a determinism leading to the overemphasis on the progressive nature of technology. As such, for Adorno, an ideological expression meaning capitalist technology, and of a voluntarism which overemphasized the present potentialities of the masses. Adorno, on the contrary, not content merely to reproduce phenomena in their static opposition, took his stand for both a speculative theory and a form of art that mediate, that totalize the results of the objective process of rationalization, reification, and demagicization in dynamic holds which deprive the fetishized fact of their self-evidence. He hoped for concentration and totalization also on the part of the reader, the listener, and perhaps in the 1930s, the addressees of theory. But as he lost his faith in the call being answered, his own theory became antinomic. Footnote 118, text. In their exchange of the 1930s, there was a noticeable desire on the part of both Benjamin and Adorno to present their positions as alternatives within a single project. Adorno quite correctly called the Benjamin of the theory of allegory his teacher, and Benjamin accepted the fetish character in music as a necessary depiction of the negative side of the collapse of the aura. Adorno furthermore even incorporated several aspects of the theoretical framework